This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The start of a new school year is a lot, especially in college. Turn that pile of coursework into great grades and stress-free weekends with Grammarly. Grammarly's digital writing assistant is a must-have for every college student. Its comprehensive writing suggestions help you avoid all those little mistakes that eat into your grade, so you can turn in your work with confidence. Best of all, it's free to use with all your favorite devices and apps. Need more advanced features? Upgrade to Grammarly Premium for clarity, full sentence rewrites that rephrase hard-to-read sentences, cutting down on jargon and making your essays as clear and impactful as possible. It even comes with built-in plagiarism detection. Just one more way Grammarly covers all the details that go into getting the best possible grade. Improve your grades with fewer all-nighters by using Grammarly. Sign up for your free account at grammarly.com/podcasts and get 20% off when you're ready to upgrade. That's grammarly.com/podcasts.
Hello and welcome to episode 145 of Pat-a-Rooney. And on this episode, I'll be talking to Fergal from Intro Matchmaking. Yes, it's a matchmaking service, but it's very personal and, it's really good. But we talk about it during the chat. You'll find out all about it. And he's absolutely up to his eyes at the minute because of lockdown. And I understand people are lonely because they're locked away in their bloody rooms. And it's not easy being single during lockdown. Oh, I've been really into the Netflix series Formula One. I was never into Formula One racing, but my son actually got me into this series Formula One, which just follows the drivers in Formula One over 3 years. It's three seasons of it, yeah. So from the last one is 2020 it does. And it's absolutely brilliant. It's as good as any drama that you'll watch. You're just on the edge of your seat, hoping that someone, you know, can get in on the podium, and you know, and this poor other driver who is having really bad luck and everything. And it's really well shot and put together. Pitches drivers against each other and their history and all that, whatever's happening in their personal life sometimes. And there's two drivers for every team, and the competition between those two, and it's brilliant. It's addictive. Now, I've also do another podcast called DICTB Radio, which is a comedy sketch podcast. And here's an example of what we do.
We now dip into the American archives for a classic episode of Mitch the Talking Turtle.
Mitch the Talking Turtle is brought to you by Buddy Cigarettes for Puppy Dogs, a cool, smooth taste for man's best friend to truly enjoy.
My daddy loves bonding with Bonzo over cigarettes.
Attaboy, Bonzo. Isn't this nice?
Buddy Cigarettes. Cigarettes for puppy dogs. Unwind with your canine and share your butts with your favorite little mutt.
And now we bring you Mitch the Talking Turtle, brought to you by Buddy Cigarettes. Cigarettes for puppy dogs.
What a lovely day to bring Mitch for a walk around our wholesome town. Come on, Mitch, you little lizard, you.
Oh, I do say. Look over there in front of the town library. Some of the lady folks seem to be having a cake sale. Ladies, you have done yourselves proud to have come up with such a wonderful display. May I be so bold as to inquire for what cause you are selling these cakes?
We're raising some funds for the Rutherford Old Ladies Home so we can provide for them a picnic day out, followed by a dance, all free of charge.
How quaint. What's that, Mitch?
Providing free entertainment and food for the Rutherford Old Ladies Home goes against the fabric of American society. We live in a democratic and free country where everyone, no matter what age or gender, must have the freedom to be poor and neglected.
Why, Mitch, aren't these ladies doing a good deed?
It resembles in its core the values of a socialist, if not a communist, society. This cake sale is the most un-American event I have seen in this town in quite a long time. Put it to you that it should be shut down with immediate effect.
Now run along, you annoying little turtle, before I make you scoot.
Say hello to my little friend. It's an AK-15 provided for me by my friends in the NRA to make sure no one takes away my Second Amendment rights. As Rambo said, live for nothing or die for something.
Oh, Mitch, you silly little turtle.
Potteroonies on the Head Stuff Podcast Network. There are lots of other brilliant podcasts on that network, and here's one of them.
Do we have to wear hard hats?
Have a listen to this.
Just to carry my name and address and my shield.
You're not getting an answer to that.
Have a listen to this. The Head Radio Podcast looks at the humble scene in the backward place where no one important ever looks. To steal from Patrick Kavanagh. Taking inspiration from the hedge schools of old, the Head Radio Podcast brings you stories that you won't hear anywhere else.
You need imagination for everything.
Have a listen to this. It's someone's reaction to reading a book.
Okay, not going to chat much this week. Going to go straight into this interview that I had with Fergal from Intro Matchmaking. Fergal Harrington here. Hi, Fergal. And you have a company called Intro Matchmaking.
Myself and my wife, Rena, set this up about 10 years ago because we were sick of listening to people saying how fed up they were going online and meeting random people on apps and lunatics here and there and everywhere and not knowing who was telling the truth, who was married, who was not right in the head. And they just had, you know, traumatic stories and tales to tell so much that we said, geez, we probably need to do something about this and maybe become kind of an exclusive dating service for single people or separated people who want a long-term relationship but just don't know whether they can trust your man in Café en Seine on a Friday night. So the women were ringing up saying, what's going on? Where are all the decent men? And the men are saying, where are all the sound, down-to-earth, grounded women? And so we said, let's kind of create this little agency of nice, down-to-earth, grounded, decent people who actually want long-term relationships. And let's be strict about what we're doing. And let's just be, you know, be blunt and be honest and become the biggest. And so in year one, we were a bit naive there now in year one. So we opened the doors and took everyone on. And then myself and Rena, having been told by several people, are you nuts? You're setting up a dating agency in Ireland where no one will talk about anything and everyone sweeps everything under the rug and no one... I said, that's why we're setting it up, because, you know, there's terms and conditions that are 7 pages long. So no one gets your surname, photograph or phone number and nothing goes online. So Irish guys in particular would rather stay single forever rather than admit that they're lonely or feeling isolated. They'd use an excuse of, oh, sure, how will I do it now? Sure, I'm living in Tralee and I have to help out the farm. My father's back is at and my mother's there on her own and she has dementia. And so, sure, that's the way I'll be now. That's the way I'll be. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. but they really, really want relationships, but they wouldn't dare say they did because that was a sign of weakness. And then sure, they'd be all talking about me. So we said, let's make this really private. That's the key. But in year one, we took the whole lot of them on and myself and Rena nearly collapsed under the pressure and the torturous backlash of the craziness that happened because people were just asking for things that, you know, were completely unrealistic. So Johnny will ring up and he'll say, well, I'm living in Kenmare now and I want someone between Kenmare and Sneem. Have you got any of those women? Because I work along that stretch of road, you see. So it'd be handy for me. And we say, well, now, it's not just about handiness and convenience there, Johnny. You need to be willing to make a bit of effort because there are actually twice as many women living in urban areas than men. So after the first year of dealing with an awful lot of people, the same issues cropped up over and over again. And one of them was unwillingness to travel. Men wouldn't, women wouldn't. I want them here. I want them now in my location because that's convenient for me because I'm a permanent teacher in Glanmire in Cork. Therefore, how can I possibly be moving to him? And he lives in Limerick. So you have to see if he's willing to move to Glanmire. And then I'd be like, Bridie, you expect me to ask Johnny if he's willing to move before you've even met him? Maybe try go for a dinner date first, see if you woo each other, and then you can work it out as two grown adults. But Irish people were very unwilling to do that. They thought, no, feck you, I'm paying you money. You give me what I want, where I want it, and that's it. So, you know, the Celtic Tiger entitlement was absolutely alive and well. So, and the he or she who shouts the loudest expects to get the best match is the kind of the attitude. And so we said, well, no, we can't just simply say to every single person that if you're ringing from Bundoran, all your matches will be in and around 15 kilometres from your house because you're probably related to half the people there and you know the other half to see.
Yeah.
And so the Irish people are funny. That if you ring about someone too far away, tis hassle, tis awful hassle. Sure, Jesus, how will I do that? And get in the car. Oh, no, I couldn't. And then too close. Sure, Jesus, no. Sure, I was the local butcher. My father was the local butcher and I worked there on Saturday. So they all know me to see. So I couldn't meet anyone too close either. So you have to say some people are just their own worst enemies and they're not ever destined to really be with someone if they think it's as simple as, you know, buying a house in a certain location. So we said, no, travel is a must. And so up to 90 minutes to meet at the halfway point is the travel policy. And that's because women spend longer in third level education. And that's why there's more women pocketed in cities where all the professional jobs are. And so if Circa, the Davy stockbroker, is unwilling to travel outside of D4, D6 or D wherever, and John Joe isn't willing to travel from Tralee, well, then neither are going to meet. So we are, you know, unapologetically saying, if you're looking for success, be open to this. And then you get the age issue. And this is a huge issue for men in particular. Men, when they hit the 40 age bracket, their mates are all settled down. They've got kids. They're all having a crack and doing their thing. And Johnny is fairly, Johnny's my go-to name. Johnny and Mary and Bridie. Johnny will ring up and say, but I want all those things, but I don't want them yet. I want a few more years of just playing the field, having a crack, going off on holidays. Maybe I'll engage or propose to her maybe after 3 years. Maybe then 2 years after that, we'll get married and have kids then. So if I'm 40, could she be maybe 25?
Yeah.
And I said, oh yeah, you'd like that, would you? So the problem is, Johnny, no 25-year-old woman ever rings up Intro Matchmaking and asks for a 40-year-old man. So that's where your problem is. So there's a lot of arrogance. You know, he's unaware that he's actually a grown-up yet. So the Peter Pan syndrome is alive and well. Yeah. And the commitment phobic sort of nature of an awful lot of men. So from 40, they get bad and they go up to 65, 70. And they'd be ringing us every day, three or four of them every day. And they'd say, have you women on your books, 35 to 40, say? I was like, yeah, we do. Well, why are you asking? Because you're 70 nearly. So he's saying, well, you see, well, I lived at home all my life on the farm. I looked after my father and mother and I was, you know, whatever. And now I have all this land and I have no woman to pass on no son to pass on my land to. So I'm going to need a nice woman there now. So it doesn't happen. So the age thing is an issue and they would compare themselves with the likes of Ronnie Wood and Richard Gere. And now the latest is Bernie Eccleston. And so we're thinking, you see, the thing is there, it's not really comparable, Johnny, when Bernie has a few billion and, your man is a Rolling Stone and the other guy is a Hollywood A-lister. That's the reason why they have someone 30 years younger than them. Or in Bernie's, I think it's 60.
Is it?
But, yeah. He's 90 now and he had the latest child last year. And his other daughter is 65. So the age thing is a funny one. And then the women will call and they'll say, well, I'm 50, but I look 40 because I do Pilates and yoga and I eat fish and I drink loads of water. So my omega levels are extremely beautiful and high. And my, you know, my skin is great. So I look 40. So I want a 40-year-old man, but sure, you know what they're looking for. So that's where, you know, you get called out. You'd say, oh, that's discriminatory. That's not fair. That's sexist. Why are the men getting someone younger and I can't get? So we find ourselves just talking people down from, you know, dizzying heights of complete crazy kind of expectation levels and bring them back to earth all the time. And the biggest issue, and it's one that really annoys men, is they're not given the respect that they feel they deserve from women who are snobbish in terms of an academic sort of level. So women in Ireland spend longer in education, and for every one woman who has third level education, there's only 0.6 of an equivalent male. So the one for one just doesn't exist. But the point is, we're at pains trying to explain to circus that, you know, well, Johnny may have left school at 15, but he started his own business and he's a massively successful entrepreneur with great life experience and emotional intelligence. So I think you really should be looking at the person as opposed to the degree or lack thereof in Johnny's case. So, but she doesn't do that. So that's why there's 2 million single people living in this country, basically, because we're our own worst enemy. Yeah, 1.55 million unattached, single, never married, and 418,000 separated and divorced. Of the 4.9 million, that's fairly staggering. And it's largely down to the fact that a lot of the time we don't really communicate or express ourselves. We don't put ourselves out there. We think, yeah, sure, what's meant for you won't pass you by. And then it does. I hate that expression because it really does. And we're a nation of procrastinators. We keep on kicking the can down the road and saying, yeah, I must do that. Must get around to that. And we have people ringing up still saying, I saw you guys on the Late Late Show. And I've been meaning to do it ever since. And then I tell them it was 8.5 years ago and they nearly die. So
right,
time flies and they don't realize that. And then it's too late sometimes, unfortunately. So it's never ending. We have 8 full-time staff members now and we're organizing 100 dates a week, virtual dates a week now with COVID, and walks in the parks and stuff like that.
The difference between you and Tinder is that you meet the people, right?
100%. Up until COVID, up until the 12th of March last year, we'd meet every single person face-to-face in the office in Grafton Street. We were over Cafe Ansen, actually, for 6 years, and then we moved to Crossroad from Bewley's. But it's nationwide, so there's members, only 18 or 19% will be Dublin-based. The rest are everywhere else. And they're from 20 to 90 years of age, and they're either single, separated, divorced, or widowed, but looking for long-term relationships. So we'd meet them face-to-face, or now we're meeting them virtually. So that whole issue of them being in Donegal and not wanting to take the day off to come to travel to Grafton Street is gone. They have that excuse is gone. So it's streamlined the business now. COVID has. It's made it much more efficient. And there's no excuses anymore. So we meet them face to face or now virtually. And then we add their profile to our database. We have a CRM system of about 4,500 people on the books. And 8 staff members make the decisions then as to why Johnny is right for Mary over Elaine or Josephine. And we then call both parties, explain the profile over the phone. So sell the profile and say, here, Joe, this is Elaine. This is why I think you really would like to meet her. And so you say, geez, yeah, she sounds fantastic. I'd love to meet her. I'm available on the 20th or whatever of June. So let's organize it. So we organize the date and the venue and the restaurant and you go for a bite to eat and tables booked under Fergal and you arrive and you're seated and she arrives and she's seated. It's all very organized.
Yeah. So like before COVID, it would have been generally a meal?
Yeah. Lunch or dinner, because you can't book a table or you couldn't book a table in a coffee shop. And that was the problem with an awful lot of Irish people. They're going on 20 dates a week and they're gulping back a cappuccino and they're judging the person right there and then. And she'd be like, oh, well, I'm meeting John tomorrow. And John said he goes to the gym 6 times a week, so he probably have a better body than this guy. So she immediately dismisses the guy on a whim in the time it takes her to drink her little coffee. So dating became so transient and so dismissive and disposable. People were just another object. And people were going mental then, just getting absolutely hammered on a Friday and Saturday night, down the gin and tonics, down the Pinot, and just not able to talk, not able to function. And Irish guys needed Dutch courage all the time to approach the women. And then the women would respond in a kind of a nasty way at times. And then the guy would be like, well, feck you, I'm not going to try again, am I? So he kind of thought, well, I'll show her by never approaching her anymore. And then the women are complaining that Irish guys aren't forward enough. But then when they are, it's kind of like, but I want you to be forward, but not in a sleazy, drunken way.
Oh, yeah. So
it's tough country.
I've, I'm single actually. And I've gone on some dates where you go, well, maybe I shouldn't have booked a dinner because you quite often know after about 10 minutes. Well, I think you do know after 10 minutes, but then you're just stuck there for the meal. You know what I mean?
Well, at the same time, yeah, that's if you meet online, you know nothing about the person in advance. But in here, it's different because 8 humans have actually gone through the profile in massive detail and we've sold you the profile over the phone. So you know everything about this person and there's enough there for you to absolutely be aware why they've been chosen. But yes, some random person on Tinder who you have no idea what she said is half true or a third true or whatever. Mm. And a lot of the time people lie through their teeth on purpose and they say what they think the other person wants them to say as opposed to what's actually the truth. And it becomes just really soul destroying. And every day then people ring me and they say stuff like, are there any decent people at all? And I say, yeah. Why? Where are you looking? And they say, I'm on Tinder, I'm on POF, I'm on Bumble, I'm on all those things. And I say, well, yeah, there you go. You're on free dating apps that you can say and do whatever you want. I had this one experience of this woman who went on to Tinder every day, and she adopted 10 different profiles, 5 male, 5 female, just for shits and giggles. And so she'd pluck good looking images off Google of, and she'd be a guy. And then she'd approach these women that she used to be friends with back in the day, but she's fallen out with since. And she'd say all the right things to woo this woman into wanting to go on a date. Then she'd organize a date. The poor girl goes to sit there waiting for this fictitious male who never arrives. But the psychopath goes and takes a picture of the woman waiting.
No so, way.
Yeah, like proper, just very sick.
A lot of effort to go to get back at some woman who dissed you in the years gone by.
It really is. And the reason she's doing it doesn't make any sense either. It's because a guy said that he was looking to meet a woman since his wife died 3 years ago. And so she went to his house and everything and saw pictures of the family and the kids and the wife and everyone because, oh, sure, haven't been with anyone in 2 years or 3 years. And so then she goes out for lunch with her friend and the friend's mother was there. And she goes, yeah, no, I know that guy. Yeah, I do. And I also know the wife and she's not dead. She's very not dead. So he had 6 women on the go at the same time using the dead wife tale to get the sympathy sex. So, right. Like, there's a lot of sordid kind of odd people and goings on. And I always say to people, get off the online stuff. If it's actually making you feel sort of lesser, if it's making you feel insecure, if it's making you feel negative and pessimistic about any decent people being left in the world, well, then that's the right time to get the hell off.
Right. So, women in general are more qualified than men. Is that right? And they don't want to, they actually ask for people with degrees. Yeah.
Oh my God. Do they ask? They like, if it's not a PhD or a master's from Trinity, a lot of the time it's not okay. I had a woman who said, I've recently compiled a study on compatibility and I now know that I'm only suited to men within 10 deviation points of my IQ level, Fergal. So unless you have those on your books, don't bother. I was like, I won't bother. You're not getting in. So we turn away 20 a day, 20 people a day we say no to. And that's the reason why we actually have the success that we have. But the amount of academic snobbishness in this country is palpable. And it's mainly the culprits are 37 to 48 year old women who are high flying, top like dogs, achievers, like their partners in the law firms. And they're like, ooh, I had one woman who said, she actually said, ooh, I'm not meeting him. This guy was extremely well-heeled and great profile, incredible guy in general. All the staff were like, geez, he's amazing. And when she was told his county of residence, she said, ooh, no, I'm a Loretto girl. I can't meet someone from Loud. Ooh. Yeah. So that's what you're dealing with. So complete, and it's never usually that they personally think it's a stupid idea to meet the guy. It's because they think, what would my friend say if I rocked up with a building contractor? Oh God. And like he doesn't need a qualification to be that. I'm like, yeah, but he has 150 employed and he's a multi-gazillionaire and he's doing really well and he's got street smarts and EQ and he's a great conversationalist. So I said, you'd do very well with him. But no, God, no. She'd rather go out with a consultant, from Vincent's, who she'd never see because he's so busy, but at least she could say he's a consultant. So their levels, their standards and their expectations are all skewed. Their idea of what happiness will be is completely skewed and they are a nightmare to deal with. And it's not worth taking 10 grand off these people. Because they will bleed you dry of all your energy and all your time, and the staff will be like, what are you doing taking on this person? They're hideous. They're really not nice. They're not pleasant. And we have a duty of care to all the clients that are on the books to actually, you know, make it as safe and enjoyable and fun and, you know, potentially successful as possible. But it would never, that's why it would never actually last if you just continue to take everybody on, because, you know, people will be treating people like absolute dirt. But it's, it's the only culprits on the profession side of things is women towards men. Men never care.
Right, about qualifications and things like that. But men like younger women.
Men's main objective is to get someone who's grounded, down to earth, level-headed, sound. What you see is what you get. Family orientated. Can introduce her to the family, and she won't be moaning at me if I don't look after her at every moment. She's independent. She's not going to be living in my ear, but at the same time, she wants to share time with and experience life with in general. But no drama, please. No drama and no smoking and no Pinot Grigio, you know, guzzlers. Like men now are complaining about the women being the white wine guzzlers as opposed to the women complaining about the 20 pints of black stuff. Yeah, it's messy, and especially nowadays, people are really jumping to the drink, and then going on Zoom dates for like 4.5-5 hours, and don't worry about taxis home. So there's just knocking it back. Not that I'm any teetotal. I'm just saying it's we'd have to intervene a few times with people who are going on dates and like falling around the place, can't get in the taxi, or having to be brought home in a taxi. Like, guys, yeah, calm down a little bit. But it's it's Dutch courage, and it's needed for some people need a little bit. But it's when it's 6 or 7 bottles, then that's when the problems begin.
Right. So you've got a high success rate here, have you, of matching people? Yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, only because we turn away so many people who you wouldn't be able to please. We would not be here 10 years down the line if we took everyone on. So yeah, 1 in 4 though ends in marriage or long-term relationships.
Wow. And
a third of the business is word of mouth. So Irish people, they'll get married and, it'll be through us, and they'll have babies, but they won't be telling people at the reception that it was Intro Matchmaking on Grafton Street that they met. They'll tell their best men or their groomsmen on the QT, here, whisht, ring this crowd. They're all right. They're decent. But I don't care what way they tell them, as long as they actually just tell whoever would like to know. And that's the main thing. But Irish people, it'd be funny, like, as well, over in the past, I would have had people who I know are successful. I know they have kids. I know they have everything, and they're married, and they're together for 8 years, 9 years, and they wouldn't please you to say, thanks very much, by the way, I'm glad I did this. Because it's kind of like the Irish way of thinking, not everyone's like this, but the Irish way is, shouldn't I pay them the fee? Isn't that good enough for them?
You're not invited to the weddings then?
No, Jesus. And I could sing at the weddings if they wanted. I've even offered that. I used to be a wedding singer. They would tell their friends, but then some people are getting a bit better at actually doing it. I went in last Monday to the office to check posts and stuff. And there was 4 cards with pictures and stuff inside it. Three of the couples had just gotten engaged, and the fourth pregnant 4.5-5 months. And that's their couples that only met within the last few months of COVID. So because a lot of Irish people thought, they'd ring me and they'd say stuff like, when I'd answer the phone and say, hello, Intro Matchmaking, they'd say, are you open at all? Yeah, I am. We are. And but sure, there's nothing going on. But sure, geez, no, there can't be anything going on. You can't meet. And so we're saying, stop with the negativity, dude. Like, there is stuff happening. People are more motivated and determined now than ever before. And they prioritize relationships and you know, people in general above the work, above the whatever else. So since the 12th of March last year, we saw a massive surge in activity, and we had to hire 3 more staff. And we're booked out for example, just to give you an idea, no messing around. 3 months on a Saturday, we're booked out for consultations, and 5.5 months on a Sunday. You can't get one. So we can hardly cope with it. We're on the phone nonstop all day, every day. And, it's bonkers busy. But there's definite determination now. And Irish guys are better actually at, expressing their interest in Bridie. If he's out on a date with Bridie, Johnny will now tell Bridie he likes her, because in the past, he wouldn't have pleased her, because feck her now. If she doesn't feel the same way about me, I'm going to feel like a fool. My ego will be absolutely bruised. If I'm stuck in a level 5 for the next 2 months looking at the 4 walls, I don't want to regret that I didn't tell Bridie that I liked her. So we're getting more people now going on pause than we did prior to COVID, which is random.
Wow. Actually, I thought, yeah, myself, because as I said, I'm single. COVID has made me think I really do want to be in a relationship, because you go, wow, a whole year without, over a year. Without interacting with someone.
It did need to happen. It did need to happen. It's just a pity it took a global pandemic for people to realize it, though, at the same time, because we were all such busy fools running around the place, distracted with life and generally everything, and money and work and just everything. It was a rat race. It really was. So everyone needed to slow down and think and readjust, and they have. And that's why, you know, we're really seeing just a change in people's attitudes as well. And people are a lot, by and large, they're a lot easier to please. I know we talked about at length about the people who are not easily pleased, but for the majority of the people, they're much sounder and grounded, and they're much more level-headed. In the past, it was, I want blonde hair and blue eyes, you know, and I want to over 6'4". So I'd be like, well, 30% of Irish guys are only over 6 foot. The rest on average are 5'7.5", and it's 5'5.5" average height of a woman. So when you give them facts, and they still argue with the facts, and say, no, I do like 6'4", though. I was like, but you're 5'2", Bridie. And so she goes, would I wear a 5-inch heel? I was like, well, okay, but that doesn't really mean anything. You know, I can just tell you what Ireland has. I can't make men go to college or make men grow taller.
Yeah. Oh, do men feel intimidated by going out with a taller woman, or most men not mind?
I am 5'9", and Rena's 5'10". And I know that's not much, but she wears ridiculous heels. And I met her back in the day when my brother introduced us, and she walked in, this powerhouse, typical powerhouse type, wearing all black, long blonde hair. It's like, ah, oh, jeez. I didn't even try because I thought, no. My brother said, no, there's definitely something there. So we did. And then within 2 months, we just said, yeah, feck it, let's just do this. The point about it is I would never have met her if I was looking online to try and meet her, because she would have been going for a rugby player type heads. And I would have been going for younger. So she's 4.5 years older than me. And I slag her. And I remind her of this all the time to keep her grounded. And and she reminds me how much of a short arse I am to keep me grounded. So, it's yin yang. Women don't want to feel like giants around guys. So, I mean, if you're talking more than 3 or 4 inches, you'd be like, oh no, that's not going to really work, because she needs to still feel feminine and she doesn't want to have to wear her flat shoes just because Johnny's, you know, not okay with the fact. But it shows serious confidence for a guy to be able to go with a taller woman.
I've always had to, well, not taller, but around the same height, because I'm 5'7", so I mean,
yeah,
what are the chances? But see, I'm the tallest in my family, so I never felt small.
Yeah. No, I mean, they need to go to the Netherlands if they want to get the 6'2" average height kind of thing. So it is what it is. Priorities need to change on that. In terms of what people are looking for, women just want guys who have their house in order. Basically, they want to know that they're decisive, that they're able to make decisions. Decision making is the biggest thing for women towards men. That they're not wishy washy. That they're not just shrugging the shoulders and saying, "Where do you want to go, John? Like this weekend? Or do you want to go on holidays? Sure, whatever you want." Right. They hate that. They hate it. It really grinds their gears. And they're like, just make a decision and have a plan and suggest something to me. If I told you I like Kenmare before, well, then book us into the park or whatever. Go down to Francis. So it's just having a plan in place and being motivated. They just don't want to sit down and watch the Late Late Show every Friday night in their slippers.
Yeah.
Because you see women and they're so outdoorsy, they're so on the go, they're really healthy, they're really fit. So if you're a guy who's healthy and fit and into, you know, eating right and looking after yourself, and you're not smoking is a huge no for both men and women, and you can say hello and you can speak and you can audibly say, "Hi, my name is Joe, how are you?" We're like, oh geez, you'll do great. But he gets calls the odd time saying, dating, we're like, all right, you're inquiring about the dating service, sir. Let me just explain how exactly the service works. So I don't always convert those guys.
Yeah, right.
I was like, you what? You have to pay for this. You have to pay for it. I was like, yeah, well, you know what, like 8 full-time staff members and offices on Grafton Street, they don't all actually work for free, Johnny. And so Johnny is offended that he can't get a free woman.
Yeah. So you want to go on a date and so you contact you. What happens then? There's a fee. Is it a yearly fee? How does it work?
There's a fee, a once-off fee, and everyone pays the same and gets the same and gets 5 guaranteed introductions, but there's no time limit on the membership. So you see, there should never be a time limit attached to a dating agency, really, because there's no predicting when your matches will be available. So it's completely unfair to have a time constraint. Also, 8 people make the decisions as to why Joe is best for Mary over Elaine or Josephine, and we then contact you by phone. We tell you all about her, arrange that date, and we're on call 7 nights a week in case Johnny is running 10 minutes late to meet Mary. Johnny calls us, we notify her. And then the next working day, feedback is done. How did you get on? Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you indifferent? Are we on the right track? Why not? If not, so you evolve as you're there and we learn more about you as well. And you might think, well, geez, I was focusing too much on sense of humor because I'm a comedian and I'm this and that. And then maybe I just need to say, no, do you know what? Maybe a deadpan, kind of like boring type sounding woman is better for me. And that'll keep manners on me or put manners on me. Maybe I need to focus on that further more. And so we'll say, fine, we'll re-angle this, reposition this. And so all 8 of the people will discuss at length why Joe now is definitely best suited for this other person. So you're getting humans and it's male and female perspectives working out the things. So we can often see the traits and qualities that you need quicker than you can, because you're so close to the thing, your vision might be a bit clouded. Or you continue to go for the types, the same types as before. And then I say, for God's sake, stop going for the same types, Joe. Your type hasn't worked, so let's stop doing this. So we'll, as long as you're able to let go of the reins and not micromanage things, not be a control freak, then you're grand. If you can say, do you know what? Fine. It hasn't worked so far. Go nuts. Do your thing. And those people walk away happy. It's the people who try to, I want to control this. Like HR people are really difficult to get out on dates, to persuade to go out on dates, because they analyze every single thing about the person.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. You can definitely not generalize, but you can box people into little stereotypes. Like a lot of people don't want to meet his teacher, because they'll talk down to me and they'll point at me and they'll spell their name. I always have teachers spelling their names, and their name might be Mary or Anne, and they'll still always spell their name. In fairness, it could be an E at the end or not, but it's never usually that reason. It's because she thinks I don't know how to spell Anne. So slightly offensive in an indirect way, but whatever. And then all guards, a lot of people will say, no, I don't want to meet a guard. They all abuse their power and their egomaniacs. It's like, wow. Okay. And, accountants, sure. Everyone knows, sure, they're boring. And, you know, so sweeping generalizations, cause a huge amount of single status for me.
And so how do you contact you?
Sorry. Yes, you asked that and I went off on a tangent again as usual. So they can contact via the website, which is intro.ie, or we're at Intro Matchmaking on Insta. But the best thing is through the website, really, to email us through the contact form, or they can call us and chat away. We always have to have an initial chat over the phone, to decide if we're the right fit for the person. So they get a good insight as to how we operate, and we know that yes, we can work with Johnny and we can work with Mary, and then we book you in for a consultation that's done in about 45 to an hour, and then you're a member. Basically, you pay over the phone, you pay a deposit to book in, then you pay the balance on the day of the actual consultation, and then you're basically in. And there's zero time limits, so you can pause your membership after each of your dates as well for up to 3 months. So if Johnny and Mary see merit in the potential of this relationship blossoming into something magical, they can say, leave us alone for a while, please, there now, so we can see if this works. And within 3 months, then the two of them are kind of backed into a corner to communicate with each other, whether they like each other or not, which is great. And Irish people need that, because an awful lot of Irish people will just sort of think, yeah, Mary's all right, I suppose. Probably handier to still be with Mary as opposed to being single again. So sure, maybe we'll just stick it out. And they shouldn't, but they do for 10 years. Mm. And then they realize, you weren't right for me since the start, were you? And she's like, no, and I don't like you either. And I never did. So, but look, sure, to be single again, who'd want to be that? Like, but the point is, now you have a better chance of success now during COVID than you would have prior to this hitting the shores. Way better. The motivation within people is far higher than it ever was.
Great.
And they give people a chance more.
And what do people do now for a date? You go for a walk, is it?
Walk, parks, or virtual if they're living miles away. And now, though, I'm getting people joining from Belgium and Germany and all over the shop. And they're saying, we're moving over in the next 3 months or 6 months. So, well, I might as well start now as opposed to putting life on hold for a while. So, it's brought an awful lot of people closer together. And we're just after franchising as well. We've opened our first in Vienna, in Austria. And that's the first of many. Cool. So it's, it's going well. And it's, you know, I suppose it's needed.
I'm very tempted now to join. So.
Well, we will look after you. We'll look after you there, Joe.
Yeah. I feel like I've got my first consultation for free.
I do. I kind of do. I feel like I really get you now, Joe.
But it sounds really good. So everybody that joins are in. It's a better relationship. It's not about one night stands. It's really
definitely not one night stands. Definitely long term committed relationships. We've members from 20 to 90, from either a single, separated, divorced, or widowed status, from all 32 counties. Literally every age, every race, all over the world actually, but residing in Ireland. But 100%. Would be looking for something meaningful and long-term, not necessarily marriage again, if they're separated or divorced, or if they're in their 50s or 60s or 80s. But they're looking for companionship in that age group, in the upper end age group. They're looking for companionship, someone to go to a show with and that kind of thing, and go to staycation around Ireland when things open up. That kind of thing is what really people are dying to do, and even go to a restaurant and sit in a beer garden and eat chicken wings or whatever. They don't, well, maybe not chicken wings on a first date. Now that wouldn't be advisable, but
messy
indeed. They're all dying to get back.
Well, cool. I think it's great.
It's the only one in the country, not to sound sales pitchy, but it's the only one in the country that operates the way we do. It's the only one around Europe. And I'm doing my research now because we have a franchise thing starting, a rollout starting, to have, like, actual physical humans discussing the reasons why Joe is right for Elaine is extremely expensive for us. and really time consuming and labor intensive. And that's why when we were on the Late Late Show, we were on it at 10 past 11 and by 20 past 11, the website crashed. And yeah, we didn't know anything about bandwidth or anything about websites back then. And so then within 2 weeks, I had to double the size of the office over Cafe Enceinte to the whole entire first floor and go from 3 staff to 6 staff. And then I counted 17 other matchmakers start up, and it was Bridie from Ballygo Backwards, and it was Josephine from wherever else. And they'd work from coffee shops or kitchen tables or the boot of the car, Tesco car parks. I heard a few as well. And they deal with people and only in brown envelope-y type ways. Which is not great, and took advantage of an awful lot of people who wanted things done privately. That's the problem. Yeah. Whereas people like coming here because we're fully registered, Irish owned, trademarked, and doing it for a long time. And they know it's a husband and wife team, and we're not shysters and whatever else. So yeah.
No, it sounds brilliant.
Yeah, people need to do it themselves, do it on their own, make the decision, and not overthink it. The overanalysis paralysis is killer in this country. And I just say, just get out of your own way, get out of your own head. You shouldn't need time to think about it. If people are on the phone to us, they called us because they want to be in a relationship. If I have to speak to them for 20 minutes on the phone and then they have more time to think about it after, I'm like, well, was 8 years not enough to think about this? Like, so yeah. what divine intervention is going to come down on you now after this? So just getting on with it, ripping the Band-Aid off and knowing that the worst thing that can happen is people make, you know, 5 new really good friends. I know you're not looking for a friend, but if people approach it that way, they don't worry about it becoming like this big ordeal. Like, what if I like her and she doesn't like me? Or what if, oh yeah, they're not attracted to me, but I'm attracted to them. These kind of things happen all the time. You just have to say, get out in the dating scene and put yourself into a pool of like-minded individuals who actually want the same outcome as you. And that's what will lead to success. But going on to Tinder when there's all sorts of lunatics and absolutely anything can be said or done, that's when people shouldn't be surprised after 3 years of swiping right and left that they're still single.
Right, yeah.
That's the king.
Well, it sounds brilliant, and thanks a lot for talking to me, Fergal.
Thank you very much for having me. Jeez, yeah. I feel like I was giving you a sales pitch there a little bit, but...
it was very good sales pitch. you know, last week I talked to a woman who's a family mediator, so we were talking about the ends of relationships. So it's good now to switch it to the beginning.
Full circle, and the positives again. Yeah, the building that we're in actually originally was a brothel back in the 1800s, would you believe? And it was then the wedding dressmaker and seamstress and stuff. And then it was a marriage counseling building. And it's currently part of it is a wedding ring maker, a jeweler.
So it's all about relationships.
Literally all, which is random, but it's a fact. I tell no word of a lie. So, yeah. That is the stuff. No, it's working. It's a well-oiled machine at this stage now, thank God. It's fun and it's nice to and pleasant to be a part of because of the rewarding sort of stories that we're getting with all these people and babies and stuff like that. So, yeah, we'd welcome you on any day.
That's fantastic. Thanks a lot, Fergal.
Thank you.
There you go, that's Fergal, and what a great service they provide, it seems, and I may even partake of it myself, mate. I say. Well, I don't know what's happening up next week. I have a few ideas of who I'll be talking to, but I can't say exactly, but you just have to listen to find out. In the meantime,
see ya, Ari, see ya, good luck now, boy, see ya. Yeah, right, see ya. Oh, Jesus, fuck off.
For the love of fall, Starbucks pumpkin spice lattes and pumpkin cream cold brews are back. Smooth espresso dashed with pumpkin pie spice and velvety whipped cream. Or cold brew topped with pumpkin cream cold foam fit for the season. Your pumpkin awaits. Order today in the Starbucks app.